This morning's sermon is called I Am the Resurrection and the Life, Part 2, from John chapter 11, verse 30 through 44, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. If you brought your Bible with you, please turn to the Gospel of John chapter 11. Gospel of John, chapter 11. Before we go through our passage this morning, I want you to, if you have your Bible open with you, I want you to go to verse 25 before we go through this passage. I'd like to read the last five verses from last Sunday. They kind of lead us right into this passage really well. So if you've got your Bible open with you, I want you to go down to verse 25. Last Sunday, we left off with Jesus telling Martha this. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Martha said to Jesus, Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. Then we read in verse 28 and 29, And when Martha had said these things, she went her way and secretly called Mary, her sister, saying, The teacher, Jesus, has come and is calling for you. As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to Jesus. I want you to highlight verse 25 and 26 in your Bible. Read that often. Let's go ahead. Let's pick up in our passage this morning. This leads right into this passage. We're going to look at verses 30 and 31. Let's go through the Word of God. Now, Jesus had not yet come into the town, but was in a place where Martha met him. Then the Jews who were with her in her house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly and went out, followed her, saying, She is going to the tomb to weep there. So as soon as Mary found out that Jesus was nearby, she rose quickly, as it says, and she took off to meet with Jesus. And those who were with her, as we just read in these two verses, that were there at her house comforting her, they thought that she was going to the gravesite, so they followed her. So let's see what happens next in verse 32 and 33. It says, Then when Mary came to Jesus, where Jesus was, and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Therefore, when Jesus saw Mary weeping, and the Jews who came with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Whenever we read about Mary in the scriptures, she's always at Jesus' feet. She is always listening to Jesus' words and worshiping him. What a smart woman, huh? Every time we read about her, she's at Jesus' feet, listening to his words. What a smart woman. Sisters felt let down as we have gone through this passage because they witnessed Jesus healing so many people before their eyes. So they're both of them said, Lord, if you had been here, Lazarus, our brother, wouldn't have died, Lord. We've seen you heal so many people. So they felt let down. They were like, I wish you were here, Lord. I know our brother would still be with us. We miss him so much, Lord. We can't stop crying, Lord. We really see Jesus' humanity in this passage. It says that when Jesus saw Mary and the others that were there with her weeping, it says, it bothered him. right? It says that he groaned in the spirit and he was troubled by this. Yes, Jesus is fully God, but he is also fully man. And he walked the earth as a human. He took on human flesh. And he became a man. And he took on the limitations of a body so he could experience tiredness, weariness, exhaustion, pain, suffering, and sadness. He knows what it's like to be tired as we read through the scriptures. He knows what it's like to be weary, exhausted, thirsty, in order that he might understand, listen, your tiredness, your exhaustion, your weariness, your pain, your suffering, your sadness, and your troubles. So when you go to the Lord in prayer and say, Lord, I am tired. I am weary. I am exhausted, Lord. I'm weak. I'm in pain. I'm sad. I'm suffering. Jesus can say, I know what it feels like. I know. And this is why he has so much compassion on us. He knows what it's like. He walked in human form, but without sin. That's the difference. Listen to what it says in Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest, Jesus, who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let's take a look at verse 34 through 37 of our passage. Verse 34 says, And Jesus said, Where have you laid Lazarus? They said to Jesus, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. So much power. Verse 36 says, Then the Jews said, See how he loved him? And see Jesus weeping. And some of them said, Could this man, Jesus, who opened the eyes of the blind, which means they witnessed this, also have kept this man from dying? Jesus said, Where have you laid Lazarus? I'm sure he already knew exactly where he was, being God. They said, Lord, come and see. And it says Jesus wept, which means to cry silently. Ever cried silently? You just sit there and you're just crying. No noise. Just tears rolling down your face. It was Jesus. As we read through these Gospels, we have found out that Jesus loved this family. They were followers of Jesus, like you. He loves you like he loved them. They were followers of Jesus. And Jesus knew how much they loved him and how much he loved them. They had come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. Seeing this family so upset and weeping, Jesus was moved with compassion. Remember, he knows what it's like to be a human. He knows what it's like to be sad and suffering. Jesus is no stranger to sorrow and sadness. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53:3, Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. But what was Jesus so grieved over? If he knew he was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, why is he so filled with grief and sadness? He's grieved over what sin has done to the world. He's grieved over death. He's grieved by the unbelief of the world. He's grieved over the separation of creatures and the Creator. He's grieved to see the sorrow of the ones he loved. Here's the picture we get in this passage. Here's Martha, here's Mary, here's the family and friends. They're all crying out loud. They're very upset. And standing next to them is our Lord Jesus Christ with tears rolling down his face. Weeping, crying silently, God in the flesh beside the family, with tears rolling down his face, taking everything in. Not for Lazarus. He's going to raise Lazarus. But for the suffering that sin and death brings to mankind. That's why he's so grieved. Jesus comes to the funeral, if you will, and he weeps for what sin and death have done to man. He knows Lazarus is going to die again. He's going to raise him, but he's going to die again. And they're going to have to go through this all over again. And he is so upset witnessing this pain and sorrow that sin and death have brought into humanity. This grieves the Lord. This is why he's so grieved. Let's take a look at verse 38 and 40. Then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. And John writes, it was a cave. And a stone laid against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of Lazarus, who was dead, said to Jesus, Lord, by this time there's a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days, Lord. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? I love that verse. Did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Jesus told Martha back in verse 25 and 26, he said, Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall not die. Do you believe this, Martha? Martha said, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who has come into the world. She was thinking of the future resurrection. Jesus is thinking, I'm raising Lazarus now. Many struggled with their faith. The apostles struggled with their faith. But after this miracle, many would come and believe and know that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is the Son of God, God in the flesh. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha said, Lord, oh, there's such a stench. My brother, he's been dead for 4 days, Lord. Martha was not expecting a resurrection. No one was. He's been dead for 4 days. Jesus said back in verse 5 of this chapter, he said that this miracle was done for the glory of God, for that the Son of God may be glorified through it. Now Jesus tells Martha, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Martha, you are gonna witness my eternal power. And so is in everyone in this village. Roll away the stone. It's incredible. Wouldn't you love to have been there? Oh, man. Let's see what happens. Let's look at verse 41 and 42. Then they, probably a big stone, took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who are standing by, I said that they may believe that you sent me. Jesus prayed to the Father. This was not a petition. This was a thanksgiving prayer to the Father. The reason for this miracle was to prove Jesus' claims that he is the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, God in the flesh. Jesus, as we read through the scriptures, he didn't pray in public very often. He prayed, he liked to pray in private, but he does here, out loud, so everyone could hear him say, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know, Father, that you always hear me. But because of these people who are standing beside me, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. After Jesus prays, let's look at verse 43 and 44. It says in verse 43, Now when Jesus had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came out, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with a cloth. Jesus said to them, Loose him and let him go. What a miracle, huh? Loose him and let him go. Can you imagine if Jesus just said, Come forth? Everybody in the graveyard might have come forth. Right? Everybody probably would have came out of the grave. Jesus circled in on this one man, Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. And just Lazarus came forth. Now, there's no word from the sisters right after this. They probably passed out. Everyone probably passed out. You and I would have passed out. This man's been dead for 4 days. Here he comes out of the tomb. Jesus spoke. And here he comes. We don't hear anything from Mary and Martha. No doubt they're on the ground. I want to share this with you. Jewish tradition believes that when a person dies, I don't know if they still believe this, but they did at this time, that when a person dies, their spirit hovers over the body for 3 days. Okay? They believe this. It's not in the Bible. I don't know if they still believe it. But it makes you wonder. When they believe when the body dies, the spirit hovers over the dead body for 3 days. And then the spirit returns to the Lord who gave it. Ecclesiastes 12:7. That we know. That the spirit returns to the Lord. The soul goes into either heaven or hell. But what I find interesting about this, Jesus knew that they believe this. So he shows up on day 4. You follow me? He knows they think this spirit is still hovering them. So if I go early, they're probably just going to say, oh, I said a few words and the spirit went with the body and we're good to go. Oh, that's why he did it. That's probably why when he found out the message, when he was 30 miles away, he said, it's only day two. I'm going to stay two more days. Because if I go before 3 days, these fellows are going to think, oh, I connected the spirit somehow with the body. He says, no, I want to make sure Lazarus is dead. Something to think about. I did a little research on that. I was very intrigued by that. And they do believe that. I don't know if they still do, but they did at this time, which is pretty amazing as you read this. And Jesus showed up on the fourth day. Makes you wonder. Do a little research for yourself. You know, here's the thing. A couple words from Jesus and things happen. Right? Couple words from Jesus and things happen. Let there be light. And there was light. Let the waves be still. And the waves are still. Lazarus, come forth. Here comes Lazarus. In chapter 6, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And then he made a meal to prove it. Chapter 8, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then he healed blind eyes to prove it. And now Jesus tells us in chapter 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he proved it by putting on his resurrection power in front of this whole village. And he brings Lazarus forth. Amazing. That's the God you serve. That's the God I serve. He speaks and things happen. In the beginning of this passage, we really see Jesus' humanity side. He's really bothered. He's crying over all this that's going on. He feels the pain, the sorrows, the sadness. And now we see, at the end of this, we see Jesus' eternal power, his divine power, his supreme being, the deity of Christ. That is the Lord we serve. I want to close with this. I want you to remember this. Jesus said to you and me and to the world, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, in the heart, not in the mind only, in the heart, though he die, he shall live. And whoever, that means everybody, who lives and believes in me shall never die. All your saved loved ones that have just gone on before you, they're still alive. They're still alive. As a matter of fact, everybody who was ever born and died physically is still alive. They're still up there. The soul never dies. They are either in one or two places. They are either home with the Lord or they are in eternal punishment for rejecting Jesus Christ. But they are alive, and they are waiting for the day of judgment. The saved will be at the judgment seat of Christ, where they will stand before the Lord to receive their rewards for what they have done down here. As long as it was done for the right motive, and they weren't looking for any glory. So you may do a bunch of good things, but if you're sounding off the bell, bing, I did that. You're not going to get a reward for that. It's going to burn up in the fire, as Paul says. That's wood, hay, and stubble. Look what I did. Hey, do you know I did that? Looking for glory. You're not going to receive nothing for that. But the things you did that nobody knew about but you and God, you're going to be rewarded for that. Paul says that is like precious stones, silver, and gold. Before the Lord. So the next time you do something really nice for somebody, you don't need to let the left hand know what the right hand did. God sees. You here that are taking care of God's house, vacuuming during the week, no one knows. But God does. He sees you here vacuuming. He sees you taking care of His vestry. He sees you getting rid of the snow in the front so His people can come worship. He sees it all. And let me just tell you something right now. It's those little things you do in Jesus' name that mean the world to God. You getting that coffee pot ready before everybody gets here, God's people, nobody knows. But you and God do. That person needed help in your congregation, and you went and helped them, God took notice. And let me tell you something, God keeps good records. We see it in the scripture. They've been trying to debunk this book for 2,000 years, and nobody can. It all adds up. Every bit of it. You can't, there's no contradictions in that Bible. So you are taking care of God's house. He sees it. Amen? I just want you to know, Jesus being the creator, He is the only one that can bring life to dead people. Only Jesus can. He is the resurrection and the life. And just like Lazarus, you and I are going to be raised from the dead one day as well. If you're in Christ, you will be raised to life. Amen? Let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank You again for speaking to us on this Sunday morning, Your Word. Lord, may Your Holy Spirit continue to speak to us as we gather in Jesus' name on Sundays, on Thursdays for the Bible study, and for all the other days, all those mornings that we wake up in the morning and read a little bit of Your Word, Lord. May Your Holy Spirit help us understand exactly what You want us to know. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.